Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Welcome back into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, your host today, and I'm honored to be joined by Dr. Bill Lyle, widely known as the Pro-Life Doc. Dr. Lyle is a board-certified OBGYN. He's a speaker and founder of the Pro-Life Doc Ministry. He's dedicated his medical career to defending life and educating the church on what's really happening in the world of abortion, from the science of the abortion pill to the hope of abortion pill reversal. Dr. Lyle, thank you so much, first and foremost, for being here, for your advocacy, and for the importance of this conversation today.
It's an honor to be with you, Zach. And our goal is to get new tools to people, not only for the healing after abortion, but to engage in the greatest spiritual battle our nation has ever faced.
I love that you're here at our 2025 AACC United World Conference, because you're doing a lot of work around the mental health challenges that surround the topic of abortion. I know there can be a lot of shame with that, a lot of stigma with that, but helping people find hope and freedom and so much more. Obviously, you have a very decorated medical career, but now, since July, gone into full-time ministry, the Pro-Life Doc Ministry. Everybody knows you as the Pro-Life Doc, sir, but I don't know if they know the origin story behind how this ministry got started. I'd love for you to take us there.
Year's 1999. I was just finishing my residency training with the University of Florida, and the practice that God led us to take over was actually the largest abortion clinic on the Florida Gulf Coast. So in July of 1999, we took over that practice. We had the former abortionist sign a two-year non-compete, which pushed him into retirement. And on day one, we stopped all the abortions. And you know, today still, from Mobile, Alabama, 200 miles east to Tallahassee, Florida, there is still not a single abortion clinic on the Florida Gulf Coast.
Wow.
So we celebrate that, praise but the then Lord. We also realize that there was more to do. So we want to engage the church, train the church on what abortion is, that we have between 18 and 24% of all the men and women in our churches have personally been involved with an abortion. Mm-hmm. They are hurting. They need healing. Healing comes from forgiveness, and true forgiveness only comes through the blood of Christ. So that's why it's so important to have the AACC with Christian counselors to help the 64 million women and their partners heal from abortion, because it really comes down to guilt, because you know that there was a loss of an individual created in the image of God. And you can't just say, well, don't worry about it. It wasn't anything. It was just a little baby in the womb. That doesn't help. You know, to know that there is true healing through the gospel is how we can really bring relief and healing to these men and women.
Before we dive into the topic of abortion, I want to dive deeper into the topic of life.
Sure.
Because obviously in our culture and society today, a lot of people would say, my body, my choice. There's that movement that's gone on rapidly throughout culture. But you're somebody that's delivered countless babies. You're somebody who's walked alongside of mothers. You're somebody who's seen the challenges following an abortion. And I would love to ask Dr. Lyle in this moment, when does life really begin? Is it at conception? What would you say?
Sure. There's no doubt. It's at that moment of conception. You had maybe one egg that was ovulated, and then you had a competition with 250, 300 million sperm, and they all want to be the Michael Phelps gold medalist.
Right.
There's only one gold medalist. There's no silver medalist, no bronze. At that moment of conception, when we have the first that actually makes it inside, there's actually a shield that goes up to prevent the silver medalist wannabe and the bronze medalist wannabe from getting inside. And that's called the zona pellucida. And at that moment, that shield goes up, there's an amazing chemical reaction that happens. There's zinc ions, potassium ions, calcium ions going in and out to make this shield. And if you look with the right frequency of light, you can actually see a flash of light at that moment of conception.
Wow.
So when people say, well, we really don't know when life begins. begins. Dude, I can see a flash of light when it happens. That's when not just life begins, but it's new life. And even at that single cell stage, that one cell is unique from mom, dad, and the other 8 billion people on the planet. And then it starts to divide, and it's called cell differentiation.
Wow.
And it's a miracle, but you know, moms and babies, half the time, they're a different gender.
Yes.
And then they can even have a different blood type. So science was created by God. Anatomy was created by God. So we can't be afraid of using true science.
Yes.
Now, when we look at so many of the mental health issues that are trying to use science to justify everything from transgenderism and other things, it's our scientists, if some of them have lost their ever-loving mind. So we have to be acutely aware of what true science is. If you have a cluster of just 1 billion cells 10 weeks after conception that all have a different blood type, then it's not my body, my choice.
That's right.
And even when we are now treating babies in the womb surgically, we provide a second anesthesia team specifically for the baby that starts an IV, and the babies are getting fentanyl for pain and paralytics called Norcuron. Mm. If I'm doing a hysterectomy, and I've done thousands, mom always gets anesthesia. Does the uterus get its own anesthesia team? No, because the uterus is part of the mom. Wow. When we're performing fetal surgery, the baby is a different person, a different neurologic system, so the babies get their own anesthesiologist. So we can defeat all the arguments such as my body, my choice.
Right.
It's not your body. Your body is a life support system, but this is a totally new, independent, genetically different blood type, half the time a different gender, a new patient.
Amen and amen. Since the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision overturning Roe v. Wade, obviously the landscape of abortion around America has changed. You being somebody that's not just living in the advocacy space, in the ministry space full time, but somebody that, I mean, has spent tons of time in the medical space as well, I would love to hear, have you seen a shift? Have you seen a difference as it relates to some of the rates of abortion across America since that decision?
Well, we know that we have really divided into two different camps as far as statewide.
Yeah.
But think about 1860s. We had two camps back then, too.
Right.
If slavery was wrong in New Jersey, then slavery is morally wrong in Alabama. Mm. Now we've kind of switched the roles. If abortion is wrong in Alabama, then abortion is wrong in New Jersey.
Right.
Since Dobbs, the number of abortions countrywide has actually gone up.
Wow.
And it is now probably about 1.1 million, but we really don't know true numbers because the majority of the increases in abortion are from the abortion pill. And at the very least, the abortion pill is probably responsible for at least 70% of all the abortions. So we'll probably have at least 700,000 abortions from the abortion pill each year. And the total number is at least now probably close to 1.1 million.
Mm.
That's every year.
Yes.
We've recorded over 64 million abortions since 1973. Mm. So we celebrated Dobbs, but the abortion pill is now come in. And it was invented by a guy named Etienne Emile Belou, who passed away 2 months ago.
Yeah.
He was a gifted endocrinologist, and he created the abortion pill, which will kill a baby 98% of the time, up to 10 weeks gestation. But there are now even studies. There was a study worldwide that looked at using that same abortion pill, but with different dosing, to kill a baby up to 28 weeks gestation. So this is a worldwide, you know, attack on the image of God in the womb. Etienne Emile Belou is responsible with his creation for 1 billion abortions, approximately 40 million each year for 25 years. There are only 8 billion people on the planet. So that was his crowning glory, and that was his what he saw as his greatest achievement.
Yeah.
But after he died, he realized a couple things. Number one, there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell. He is a just and fair God. So I just can't imagine that judgment where you used your gifts and your talents and you created a pill that would kill a baby 98% of the time, up to 10 weeks gestation and 1 billion. I mean, we mourn the Holocaust. There were 6 million Jews that were killed.
Right.
This was 1 billion deaths at the hands of Etienne Emile Belou. But healing is available, but that's the attack on the image of God. Primarily with the abortion pill, but then we have so many states where it is culturally acceptable and legal to perform an abortion at any gestational age. So when we have a generation which has grown up where if something bothers you or inconveniences you, then it is perfectly legal and culturally acceptable to kill that baby in the womb up until term. Are we really surprised that somebody with that same mentality would assassinate Charlie Kirk? Right. Life is precious, but right. we have, you know, in the demonstration of our culture with abortion on demand available everywhere, and even having a pill, which if you don't even have a credit card, you can still get access to the abortion pill.
Wow.
Life is much more precious than that, but we have a generation that this has been their standard that they have learned.
Talk to me a little bit, Dr. Lau, just about the physical impacts of this abortion pill. And I mean, the physical toll it might take on women, because I'm thinking about, you know, these types of pills, they just kind of counteract maybe a one night stand or a bad decision. Like, hey, I went out there irresponsibly. I did something I didn't want to do, but I don't want to have a baby. Like, I'm not ready for that. So we take a pill, but we don't understand all of the impacts that it has. And I want to start with the physical, because then we're going to get into the emotional and mental. But physically, what's the impact it has on women?
Well, first we have to look at the differences between the morning after pill and the abortion pill. Yeah. The morning after pill is like in a situation you described where yeah. somebody had intercourse and like, I didn't want to do that. And they can take the morning after pill up to 72 hours after they've had intercourse. Wow. And it will force them to have a menstrual cycle. And if a pregnancy had begun before a pregnancy test is even positive, it will force that pregnancy to pass with the menstrual flow. Mm. The abortion pill mm-hmm. is much different. The abortion pill actually will block a very important hormone called progesterone. Well, you're in medical school, you get a big word, you break it down to little pieces. Yeah. Progesterone is the progestational steroid hormone. Everything that's good about a pregnancy is because of progesterone. It is what says, we're not going to have a menstrual cycle. We are going to support this pregnancy. We're going to increase blood supply. So when the progesterone signal is blocked, the body stops and goes, I thought we were pregnant. Yeah. I guess we're not pregnant. So these are babies that have beating hearts, fingers, toes, fingerprints, toe prints. They're moving around on the inside, and this pill will, you know, abort that baby.
Wow.
But it's also dangerous for the moms.
Yes.
It will kill a baby 98% of the time. But in April 28th, actually, of this year, the Ethics and Public Policy Center released an article. It was a study of over 865,000 women who had been prescribed and took the abortion pill. Hmm. For years and years, we've been told that the complication rate of a woman who's taken the abortion pill is less than 0.5%. This study showed with those 865,000 women, they only looked at severe complications or life-threatening complications. They didn't even bother looking at mild or moderate. They found there were over 40,000 women who had to go to the ER.
Wow.
There were 28,000 women who were having had to have an additional surgery like a DNC to remove the products after the abortion pill. There were 24,000 women who presented with hemorrhaging, 12,000 women who had either infections or even sepsis, and they also found that there were over 3,000 women who had an ectopic or tubal pregnancy.
Wow.
Still, the number one killer of women in the first trimester of pregnancy is still a ruptured ectopic pregnancy. One in 100 pregnancies will be ectopic or in the tube. So when a woman doesn't get an ultrasound, she receives the abortion pill through the mail, or either she gets it from a different country, 1% of that time, it will be an ectopic. Mm-hmm. And they receive the abortion pill combination. They are told, you can expect to have bleeding, cramping, and pain. Mm-hmm. What were the symptoms of an ectopic pregnancy? Bleeding, cramping, and pain. So we're seeing more and more cases of women who are coming into the emergency room with a life-threatening ectopic pregnancy. Often they have delayed coming in to seek care because they thought that was normal. Mm. So it is harming women. It wasn't 0.5%. It was actually 11%, 22 times higher. And sometimes people say, yeah, it's 22% higher. Let's go over basic numbers. Yeah. It's 22 times. And if I go in to the airport and I am hungry and I see a Snickers bar and it's labeled a dollar, yeah, and I swipe it and it doesn't come up a dollar, it comes up $1.22. That's 22% higher. If I take that same Snickers bar and I swipe it and it comes up $22, I'm not getting that Snickers bar. I mean, I like Snickers, but I don't like them $22 worth. So women are being harmed, and we see this effect on them, and it's extremely traumatic for these women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these women don't even know that somebody doesn't even know that they were pregnant. So we'll talk about the mental health, but they are passing identifiable fetuses where they can see the eyes, they can see arms, they can see legs, fingers, and toes. and they're doing this alone. They're typically home, alone, bleeding, cramping, horrible pain, and then they pass something, and that is traumatic. And then there is no mom that knows. There is no dad. There are no friends. So this is something that women are carrying, where they're carrying it alone. A lot of these women have now progressed to be even being leaders within their churches. Their spouse might not even know about this part of their past. Well, when you're saved, and that's why the mental health is going to be so important, yes. Paul says, forget about those things which lie behind, press on towards what's ahead. But that we're here to educate our Christian counselors on how they have to ask these questions. Not just, oh, how many kids do you have?
Right.
You've got to ask, how many times have you had a positive pregnancy test? When was your first pregnancy test? Because we see so many women who are coming into our offices, and it's like, well, what's going on recently? Are you having some depression, anxiety? We are seeing more and more evidence of women who their mental health challenge and their depression and anxiety journey started 20 or 25 years ago when they had their first abortion. Mm-hmm. So we need to go back and we need to do a thorough history and say, do you remember when your first positive pregnancy test was? And then really focus, because a lot of women were not going back to the beginning, and you can't treat until you have a diagnosis and can identify when did this disease begin.
Dr. Lau, you've clearly seen a lot of mental wounds, a lot of brokenness on the backside of a bad decision. And I agree. I, too, in my clinical practice, have worked with clients who maybe chose to have an abortion, and the issues we work on in the aftermath continue for a long time. They typically resurface, especially later in life when there's guilt and when there's shame involved, but there's hope. And when you begin to process it with somebody, again, as they begin to recognize the love and the grace and the goodness of God, that God hasn't abandoned them because of a bad decision. It doesn't matter our past, right? Everything is redeemable and restorable back to the image of God. Speak to the hope in Christ in the midst of this crisis.
There is healing. Healing is in forgiveness, and true forgiveness is only available through the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ. And confidentiality. You need to speak with a pastor. You need to speak with a counselor. And I would really say it has to be a Christian counselor, because the key with this guilt is with true forgiveness, which only comes through the gospel. And anything that you tell that pastor, that counselor, or your physician will always be held confidentially. And there's no breaking of that confidentiality. And it'll just be between you and your counselor. Healing is available, and there are professionals who are there to assist.
Yes, I'm so grateful for the work that you're continuing to do in this abortion reversal process, because you're bringing hope and you're bringing help to people that maybe feel guilty because of these things. And the mental health challenges, as you mentioned, are astronomical. And I want to go here for a second, Dr. Lyle, as we're kind of nearing the end of our conversation, because the church hasn't always done the best job of covering this topic. We're really good at talking about abortion being a sin, but we're not so good about the healing journey to help individuals that are struggling, both moms and dads, families that struggle from this very thing. If you might, what can we as the Big C Global Church be doing to be a little bit more caring and care for people that struggle with this particular topic more effectively and more like Christ?
Sure. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
That's right.
We might not have all been involved in an abortion, but we have all sinned. We can't cover the abortion. Is it so bad it can't be covered by the blood of Christ? Yeah. It can be covered, and forgiveness is available. When the church has a young lady who delivers her baby and say 2 months later, for whatever reason, that baby passes away, the church functions like the church should. There are cards, there is more lasagna being dropped off and take care of all those needs. People are calling saying, I am praying for you. But then when somebody has even a miscarriage, yeah, and everybody knows about that miscarriage. My wife and I had 4 miscarriages, 2 kids. We actually had members of our church coming up and saying things like, well, at least you can know you can get pregnant. Or, well, at least you already have Sydney, you know, when we had already had 1 baby. Mm. And that just is not, you're better off being silent than providing information like that. But this is a spiritual battle. It is an attack on the image of God. It should not be obstetricians and psychologists and politicians that are leading a spiritual battle. It should be our pastors leading it from the pulpits, where they need to be saying, this is an attack on the image of God. One example would be, why does somebody burn the American flag? The American flag is the image that represents the United States of America. If you hate the United States, you express that by destroying the American flag. abortion is the attack on the image of God, of a hatred for God. Genesis 1:26 says that we're all created in the image of God, and that created begins at that moment of conception. So abortion is an attack on that image of God out of a hatred for God. And yes, the gospel needs to be the number one thing preached from every pulpit in the United States, but the abortion battle needs to be number two. But we speak at a lot of pastors' conferences, and typically we'll see about 2% of the pastors have even had one lecture in either undergrad or in seminary on how to address that issue. Mm-hmm. So we've developed curriculums specifically for pastors. If you don't know how to discuss it, you won't. Yeah. But we need to encourage our pastors. I mean, even when Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, he said, "Pray for me that I would have the courage to speak as I must." So yes. As a member of a church, we need to encourage our pastors and give them that support. And if they refuse, yes. Then you need to think, is this the pastor and the leadership where I want to be raising my kids and tithing? Yep. But there are depending on the denomination, between 18 and 24% of all of the members in our churches have personally been involved with an abortion. Wow. So it needs to be a message coming from the pulpit, not from the podium of a politician.
That's right. And people can't be silent about it. Not just leaders speaking out openly about it, but also those that are navigating this loss, being willing to say, I'm not going to try to heal in hiding. I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to process these things alongside of a trusted individual in a non-judgmental space, because healing is possible. I want to close this way, Dr. Lau, because I'm thinking about a mom and a dad out there who might be pregnant, and they're beginning to question whether or not they want to choose life. They're beginning to question whether they have the means or the resources or the support or the stability to be able to provide a good life for this child. And I just want you to offer a word of hope, a word of encouragement as to why they need and why they should choose life for this baby today.
Well, first, you've been blessed. You had that positive pregnancy test. You are now carrying the image of God that was in your womb. I mean, we celebrate Jesus. You know, when Mary first had that pregnancy test, I mean, even when John the Baptist came to visit, you know, and was in that presence, John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb for joy there inside of Elizabeth's belly. So this is an amazing blessing. And even Elizabeth said that the mother of my Lord, not the mother of the baby who's going to be my Lord, but the mother of my Lord would visit me. This is the biggest blessing you will ever have. And this is an opportunity to say, thank you, Lord, but there are resources available for you. There are over 3,500 pregnancy resource centers, which are there to assist you, help you get through this challenge emotionally, physically, financially. A lot of them can even assist when it comes to medical care. A lot of them have housing, and they will all be praying for you in this greatest spiritual battle. Amen. This is a blessing. And yes. Abortion is a loss. You will get through this. I promise you. I've had so many patients that, yeah, they were facing challenges, and we were able to guide them and help them. And every one of them, after we delivered the baby and we'd see them at that 2-week postpartum visit, you had to bring up, you know, remember where you were almost were? Now that they have this beautiful baby that's all dressed up and looking perfect, and it is an absolute blessing. Don't throw away the biggest blessing in your life. I've got kids, you've got kids, mine are now grown up and having their own kids. And I can't imagine going through life without them. So as we get older, we look back and we think, that was one of the biggest blessings in my life.
Amen to that. You might not see the people around you, but that doesn't mean you can't seek them out. There are people that want to help you, that want to support you, that want to love you through this very thing. Again, life is a choice, and life is a celebration, because as you said, it truly is an opportunity to celebrate the image of God in our daily lives as well. Dr. Lau, you're a gift, you're a blessing. Let me ask you this, where can our audience go to find out more about you and to be involved with the Pro-Life Doc Ministries?
Sure, well, we can go to prolifedoc.org. You can see our speaking schedule. We'll speak out of state about 100 times a year, and you can also see curriculums, videos that are there at prolifedoc.org, and we'd be honored to assist.
Dr. Lau, thank you for standing on the front lines on truth and choosing life. Dr. Lau, you are a gift to my dad, to my family. We love you and your wife, Leslie. On behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, all of us here at AACC and Life, Love, Faith, and Family, thank you for your time and thank you for joining me.
You are welcome. It's always a pleasure to partner with you and your family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Zach Clinton, and in my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. Now, I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. That's why at Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian counselor or coach who shares your faith and your values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or maybe facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctively Christian. So if you or someone you know may be looking for help, hope, or healing, we invite you to take that next step today. All you have to do is go to ChristianCareConnect.com. Again, that's ChristianCareConnect.com, and you can easily find a provider within 100 miles of your zip code. For further support, you can even email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. Most importantly, remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Again, ChristianCareConnect.com, a new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.